So thanks for being here this morning, for listening to me. I guess you don't have much choice. I guess you do. You do. Ann said the last time I was doing this, I threw candies. I don't intend to do that today. Yes? No, I've got a few, Daryl. I need good answers. And, oh, by the way, there is a quiz today. There is a quiz. Last time I was up here talking, I recall there was at least four pastors here. Our pastor was here, Shannon. I remember seeing Dieter was here. Grant was here that Sunday. And my old pastor, Frank Schmidt, was here. And so I'm asking this morning, are there any pastors here? Good. Now I'm wondering about our relatives, whether it's good that they're here or not. You know, like, because people, it's good, yes. People know me really well, and they can call, you know, really they can call my bluff on anything. And what is the topic of the message today? Does anybody know? How honest are you? Why we lie. But in typical Dick fashion, I'm not going to get to that for a few minutes because Dick goes on some tangents first. I'm fully aware of that. And we will get to the end in not too long of a time. And again, it's good to see our family here. It's so exciting to have them. They're such nice people. And they put up with me. I'm so thrilled about that. Daryl has put up with a lot. I can tell you. I hope we can all be encouraged today. What does encouraged mean? It means lightened, strengthened, thought about, prayed for, loved, cared, and so on. So I want you to take a minute right now. Don't move from your seat. Just stay where you are and say a word of encouragement to your neighbor. Husband, wife, friend, kid. I'll give you about 30 seconds to say a word of encouragement to your neighbor. Thank you. So that little exercise was to let you know that you are in the encouraging business. And you know our church needs that. Let's continue to encourage each other, our pastor, and everybody who is not here and who is. And as Benny mentioned, Shannon is in the Peace River area. I believe he's taking 1 week of his annual vacation there, so he will not be around this week. Something else to be praying about. As you may know or may not know, Doug and my elders' terms are ended. And so we're praying and needing an elder or two for this congregation. So maybe that's something you think God might be calling you to. So think about that if you're asked. That might be something for you. Let's be praying about that. Okay, just a little warmer upper here this morning. And some of the things I've been thinking about. You know, when I'm sitting there driving this bus, I have to think about stuff. Oh, by the way, here's my points. I have 3 points today, believe it or not. The first one is my friend Lenny is alive. That's the first point. My second point is a few words about my year as a bus driver. And my third point is, yeah, you guessed it, how honest are you? But previous to that, I have a few questions of which you may or may not want to give me an answer. Do you ever have questions for which you have no answer? I have a few. I have 8. I have no answer to these 8 questions. First one is, you're going to laugh, but that's okay. Will there be any stars in my crown? And where this came from was, for whatever reason, the song came to my head, and then I played it on the computer, and then I played it to Clarice, and then the rest of the week I kind of drove her crazy. You know that song? Will there be any stars in my... What's that about? I have no answer. Nobody knows that song here? You're kidding me. Well, then Google it. Marion, do it, does. Okay, second. How many cups of coffee a day does it take for you to be addicted? Third question, how much ice cream is enough? We were at Marble Slab yesterday. I'll say no more. How can one little, soft, cuddly deer cause $7,000 damage to a vehicle? What's the perfect age? Where might I be 5 years from now? Should I live that long? And the rapture hasn't happened. When was the last time you told a lie? Last one. How many kilometers over the speed limit does it take for you to be sinning? 5, 10, 20, or 30? And I have one more that I haven't written down. This is just for Daryl. Is it wrong? Daryl right there. Daryl, Rachel. Is it wrong to not stop at a stop sign when you haven't even seen it? Talk to me after. My friend Lenny is alive. A few weeks ago, think Clarice, right? Our friend Lenny experienced a major heart attack on his front step. It was so serious that his wife heard the commotion from inside the house and came out to investigate. After calling 911, she and the paramedics performed CPR for the next 20 or 30 minutes. He was driven to Edmonton on ice and put on an induced coma. The doctors feared he would have serious brain damage and may never come out of his coma. So there he lay in the hospital, not moving. We prayed for him that Sunday morning as he lay there. We prayed for the best and feared the worst. Is that right? When you pray for the best and you fear the worst? Well, when they started taking him out of his coma drugs, he came back to life, so to speak. The medical staff literally came running because he had been clinically dead. His heart had actually stopped at some point. He got up and went and sat in a chair. Today he appears to be on his way to a full recovery. They put stunts in and all that, and he's ready to go. Thank God for answered prayers. Question to you today is, what are you praying for? Do you believe God can answer that prayer? With God, nothing is hopeless. I'm thankful for my friend Lenny. That's point number one. Point number two, my years as a bus driver. I'll make this short because, time's moving. You've got things to do. I just want to say that in the last 6 years, I thoroughly enjoyed being a bus driver. This Tuesday, I get tested. You see, I'm 67, and they say, we don't know if we can trust you driving a bus, and so I have to take what's called Drive Able. Now, I've already done the computer portion of that, and you need hand-eye and all that, and I bombed that, I think. But I have to drive for them this week on Tuesday, and they want to know if I can handle the bus, and who knows if I can handle the kids. You'll be praying for me on Tuesday as I drive for Drive Able. And Daryl, I'll try not to miss any stop signs because that's going to cost me. As a bus driver, I have survived crossing Highway 19 I don't know how many times a day, getting up at 5:30, having a kidney stone attack mid-trip. God drove the bus that day. Rambunctious kids who would rather be doing their own thing than listening to me. What's the number one rule for the kids on the bus? Does anybody know? Can anybody guess for me? Listen to the driver. That's interesting in itself. Rain, snow, ice, sleet, cold, keeping the kids well behaved. That's a challenge. And intersections. Boy asked me the other day, he said, Mr. B, what happens if the bus goes in the ditch? Does it fall over? Like, does it tip? I said, oh, I don't think so. You sure? No, I don't think so. Well, anyways, yeah. The last two kids in the bus on Friday, I said, I need to ask you a question. Why is it that I'm sad that it's the last days of the year? And they said, we don't know. Then I said, I have another question for you. They're the last two. We were talking the last two of, say, like 55 or 60 kids. Who's the worst kids on the bus? Well, of course it wasn't them. And who's the worst kids? Yeah, who's the best kids? Well, it's funny. They all of a sudden started to smile. Might be them. So, what do you do for the bad kid? You tell them they're going to kid jail. Where's kid jail? See that tree up there? I'm going to tie you to that tree. I know I'm going to get fired for this job. I'm positive. You know this, but every morning, Clarice prays for me. Every morning. She wakes up, says a prayer, and goes back to sleep. When I get to the bus, this is what I do. I pray. I say, Lord, thank you for this day. This is your day. Two, thank you for this bus. This is your bus. Three, thank you for these kids. These are your kids. And four, Lord, I'm your driver. Please help me. Yeah. We'll see how it goes. Point three, how honest are you? Quiz coming up. National Geographic. This is the last issue, June of 17. And when I looked at it, I was astounded. And, you know, I'm going to ask Curtis here. I want you to pass out a sheet of paper which is found in the middle of this National Graphic as to why we lie. So maybe, Dwayne, you could help him. And there should be more or less one for everybody. Does anybody here lie? You'll see in this, when you get it, there's a little circle at the very bottom. It says if you're between the ages of 60 and 77, 34% of you tell 1 to 5 lies a day. If you're between the ages of 13 and 17, 59% of you tell 1 to 5 lies a day. Thank you, guys. Does anybody have one? So if you lie, this is why. The biggest reason for lying is personal transgression. Cover up a mistake or a misdeed. 16% of you lie to get economic advantage, gain financial benefits. 14% avoidance, escape or evade people. 15% personal advantage brings benefits beyond money. And then there's others. But if you look inside that circle, have you all got it there? You lie to protect yourself, and you lie to promote yourself. And then to some degree, you lie to impact others. So at the bottom of that sheet you've got, it talks about lying frequency by age. So my age here, there's about half a chance I'm going to tell the truth, or I may tell a lie once a day. Yeah. And I'm just going to read you a couple of sentences out of this National Geographic magazine, which I underlined. And if you can get a hold of this magazine, borrow it from me or buy it. We lie if honesty won't work. At the very beginning of this article, it says, honesty may be the best policy, but deception and dishonesty are part of being human. Can you imagine? Part of being human. So they asked 147 adults to jot down for a week every instance they try to mislead someone. So maybe that's a thing we should do. Have we done that? It's much easier to lie in order to get someone's money or wealth than to hit them over the head or rob a bank. As a society, listen to this, our ability as a society to separate truth from lies is under unprecedented threat. And so it talks about in here the different people that have tried to lie for their own advantage. Learning to walk or talk, lying is something, a developmental milestone. A developmental milestone? Are you kidding me? Okay, now listen to this. A psychologist at the University of Toronto by the name of Kang Lee sees the emergence of the behavior of toddlers as a reasonable sign that their cognitive growth is on track. Scary, isn't it? Okay, guys, keep passing out stuff. It's time for the quiz. I want to see if you lie. Now, this quiz is just for you. You don't have to, you know. Does everybody have one of these? Honesty quiz? Can you pass that out, Curtis? Or you got him. Pardon me. Okay. Number one. What you could do here, you don't have to put yes or no. You can say pass or fail. And you don't even have to write anything. You can if you want. Be honest with you, I haven't even put a P or F on mine because I'm scared. I regularly exceed the speed limit. I always arrive home when I said I would. I never say one thing and actually mean something else. I look at things my conscience tells me that I shouldn't. 5. I say I'm busy when I am not in order to avoid uncomfortable situations. 6. I tell somebody to look great when I don't mean it. Man, you look great today. I give false excuses as to why I have to leave. 8. I keep the change when handed the wrong change that's not entitled to me. You'd never do that, would you? As a bus driver, am I allowed to keep the change that's under the bus seats? Yeah, okay, good. It goes the other way, too, because there was a day there that a kid comes to the front of the bus. He said, I lost $5. I said, well, where'd you lose it? Oh, somewhere in the bus here. I lost $5. So I reach in my pocket. I give him $5. I say, here. Well, it turns out he just found $5. That's how it ended up. See if I give anybody any money anymore. People ask me if all right. I'm all right. And I say yes, even though I'm not. I make a false excuse for not going somewhere or doing something when asked. How you doing? Don't say. I can tell you I don't measure up. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. With God's help, we don't have to lie. If we have accepted Christ into our lives by faith, He lives there. Head, heart, mind, soul. He's the one that helps us. Again, we don't have to lie. Here's some scripture passages which talk about lying. Whoops, I spilt. But it wasn't coffee. Psalm 116:11. All men are liars. Revelations 21, verse 8. All liars. Their places in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Can you imagine? Then John 8, verse 44 and 45. Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And then the next verse in there says, because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. So, basically, the writer of that says, I'm telling you about Satan, but you still don't believe me regarding the truth. Then there was the passage in Matthew 26, verses 69 to 75, where Peter denied Jesus, and you've read that one. Acts 5, verses 1 to 10, Ananias and Sapphira sold their land and lied about giving all the money to the church. What'd that cost them? Their lives. And Genesis 3, verses 12 and 13, Adam and Eve lied in an attempt to avoid responsibility. Questions. How honest are you? B. Dick, how honest am I? Well, I can tell you I'm not where I should be. What are you covering up? What's more important to you? Not getting caught or stopping what you shouldn't do? I'll read that again. What's more important to you? Not getting caught or stopping what you shouldn't do? Principles. Ultimately, we cannot cover up lies. 2, our way is the Christian way, not the world's way. So, this isn't you. Just so you know, right? This isn't me. 3, I don't have to lie. 4, I don't want to lie. And 5, I don't need to lie. So, if you want to turn to Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What did I just read? Finally, brothers, whatever is true. That's what we're supposed to think about. And in James chapter 5, verse 12, it says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Would you pray this? Bow as we pray this prayer. And we'll close in the Lord's Prayer, and then the worship team will do one more number. I'll pray first. Lord, you are the truth. You don't want us to lie, but sometimes we do. Help us not to go the world's way, Satan's way. He's the father of lies. That only causes heartache. But help us, each one of us, to seek your way. Lord, your word is truth. We love your word. We love you. Now, would you grab your neighbor's hand and we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. Grab your neighbor's hand and let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.